This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Through this weekend, buy one, get one at EdenPure.com. Use code word Howie Bogo. One word, Howie Bogo.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Once again, the day is just flying by. We've had so much news, and now it is time to bring on our legal expert, attorney Mark Salinas from Silva and Salinas. Mark, thank you so much for joining The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, Grace.
All right, Mark, thank you for coming on. And perfect timing. Trump announced yesterday that he will be filing a lawsuit against big tech, could break new ground on First Amendment protections. My first question for you, Mark, which is a pretty basic one, is does he have a shot? Is there any chance that he fights this and wins?
Well, Donald Trump's detractors are saying that this is an absolute long shot. He's got no chance. And it really, I could break it down this way. The First Amendment prohibits Congress from restricting free speech. And essentially the challenge that Donald Trump has is he's going to have to show that the First Amendment applies to entities like Facebook and Twitter. Now, I read through the lawsuit today, and it's really fascinating how he's trying to make this connection between what would otherwise be a private company and being a government actor. So he has put forth all these examples where essentially Twitter is participating with these Democratic lawmakers to censor Donald Trump. And for example, they use the CDC and when they were working with Twitter to say you can't put out misinformation about COVID-19 and vaccines. And by Twitter going along and being this outlet for the CDC, they are essentially acting like a government entity and that they are also constrained by the First Amendment.
Yeah, and I know that at some point he'll also have to prove how this materially damaged him in some way. Can you explain, Mark, how that is? And maybe are there examples of, I can think of a few of ways this damaged him, but as far as what he might bring to a court?
Sure. There's two purposes of this lawsuit. He's looking for injunctive relief, and that's asking the court to do something for him other than award him money. And the request he's making is, I want to get back on Twitter. I want to get back on Facebook. I want the court to declare that what they're doing is illegal, and I want them to fix that by giving me my platform back. But he's also suing for monetary damages, and those monetary damages could be anything that he loses out of pocket by having his voice taken away. Let's say, for example, that he could make a case that he wasn't able to get reelected because his platform was taken away. Well, one measure of money damages might be his salary for acting as president of the United States. We all know that Donald doesn't necessarily need that, but that would be a measure of damages.
Yeah, and no, and I'm glad you brought that up because I think another question, and you talked about this a little at the beginning when we had you on, was that, you know, it's interesting. We know what the opposition's going to say. They're going to say, listen, these are private companies. They can do what they want. And for a long time, I think that kind of passed the smell test for a lot of people. But as time goes on, it's becoming more and more clear that these big entities, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or, you know, any of them, really, you could argue that they're not really private companies anymore. They're utilities. And I think a great argument for that is that the Biden administration is trying to pass, you know, broadband off as infrastructure. So when you think about how important things like Facebook are to certain businesses and to platforms, is there an argument to be made there that this is no longer a private company and it's actually more of a utility?
Absolutely. And I think that's why they're trying to draw the comparisons that what Twitter and Facebook were back in 1996 and 1997, when these laws were passed that would protect those companies from liability, are nothing like they are now. They are essentially like big utilities. They're like what AT&T used to be. They're what all those utilities are now. That then you start to raise a specter, is there a First Amendment constraint there on these companies? But I think really what I took from this lawsuit, which I found fascinating, is that they're really trying to make that connection, like I said earlier, that these big utilities, really what they're doing is that they're a mouthpiece for the federal government. And by doing that, they are, in fact, de facto a government agency.
Yeah, and they're bringing on other people to this lawsuit. It's not just Donald Trump. It's other people who feel that they've been censored. Does that help his case, you know, to have more examples of this? Or do you think that this is kind of just muddying the water? It's going to be more confusing for people to make a decision.
No, you know, he brought in a couple of individuals. He brought in a political action committee on one hand, and he brought another individual that was had a lot of followers that was their platform was taken away as well. I think by introducing the class action aspect of it, what they're trying to do is, if it's possible to make this lawsuit any bigger than it already is, but by having other classes of people who have been affected by the way Twitter has been censoring conservative voices, that they would have a path to join in on the lawsuit.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And Mark, I'm speaking with Mark Salina from Silva and Salinas. I do want to ask you another question. This is a little different topic, but Biden announced recently that his administration was going to start going door to door. And whatever that means as far as vaccines are concerned, whether that means he's giving out information or offering the vaccines door to door. But what I kept seeing a lot on Twitter was people were wondering about the legality of this. I mean, everyone brings up HIPAA, but it seems like it's an unclear area for a lot of people. I see this with people who are sending their kids to school. They say, oh, the school is requiring a vaccine. I don't really understand my rights. What are people's rights as far as keeping their information private? Now that we know that Joe Biden might be knocking on your door at any moment, asking you for your vaccine status.
Well, that's the big question now. Who's kidding who now? What are they going to do? Send people door to door just randomly at every neighborhood across the country? Of course not. They're going to have some base of information in order to find out what doors to knock on. And how are they going to do that? The only way they can do that is by accessing private medical information. I don't think that there's any way that they could get away with it, nor should they be accessing any type of information regarding people's medical choices to see who they should solicit to push some type of political agenda.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because another thing I kept hearing, I read this article in The Globe a few months ago when it became clear that vaccines were going to become either you get it and you can be part of society, or you don't get it and will make it harder and harder for you to interact with other people in society. And, you know, that's how they kind of get away with it, is, oh, it's private companies. They can decide what they want to do. And, you know, maybe you have to learn to code or get a new job or, you know, whatever they're going to say. But I do find it amazing that a lot of these kids going back to school, there's always this caveat that you, unless you have a medical reason for not getting it or a sincere religious belief. Now, Mark, maybe I just don't understand it well enough. But if I said to my school, if I was going to a university and I said, I have a sincere religious belief against this vaccine, there's no way they can argue that legally. I mean, there's no way you can decide the varying degrees of sincerity, I would guess.
Yeah, you know, every school would have to have their own individual policy that doesn't discriminate in and itself by saying, all right, well, if you're going to tell us that you have some type of medical reason, you need to provide us with medical information. If you have a religious exemption, we want you to have something signed off by a pastor. I mean, is that going to be legitimate? No, it's ripe for abuse, and anyone that wants to get a letter from somebody is going to be able to do that. So then what is the school going to do? They're going to be put in the very uncomfortable position of having to say, well, your letter from your pastor is not good enough, and now what are they doing? They're discriminating on this student based upon their religion.
Yeah, and it does seem like, especially with COVID, with the last year, I mean, there just must be so many lawsuits, Mark. Parents against schools, against teachers, against, you know, vaccine companies. I have to imagine that everyone is getting quite litigious with this current climate.
Well, we saw one in Massachusetts just recently, and I don't remember exactly the school or the moving parties, but there were a group of parents, I believe it was a state college, and they were saying, essentially, that their children were being prohibited from returning to school based on certain things that they did, based about either wearing a mask, not wearing a mask in public, vaccinations, and ultimately the schools had to cave under the pressure, because I think that they know under a hard legal challenge they're not going to be able to withstand it.
Mark, thank you so much for joining the show. This is Mark Salinas from Silva and Salinas. Mark, where can people find you if they have any questions about maybe their own legal issues or if they just want to talk to you about anything?
Yeah, my partner, Donna Lagana Silva, and myself are in North Andover, silvasalinas.com.
All right, awesome. Eden Pure has brought back their famous buy one, get one free sale on their most popular product. I'm going to hold it up for you guys right now. This is the product. This is what you want. This is the Thunderstorm. See how small it is? It's small, but it's powerful. You just plug it into the wall. No air filters. You know, you're not going to spend more money on this thing. You buy it once and you're good to go. You turn it on. And now there's two, I'm going to say there's two real main reasons. There's a million reasons to get it. But my two favorites are, one, if you have allergies, it works great at eliminating allergies and making you feel good, breathe better. But two, and this is something that comes in handy every day, no matter what the season, it eliminates smells. And let's face it, you might not even think your house smells. That's the scariest kind, is when you don't know that it smells bad and then someone else walks in and they're like, what's that smell? Well, you don't want to risk that. You want the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Find out what you've been missing. Or if you have a Thunderstorm and love it like I do, take advantage of their big sale and get one for every floor in your home. Eden Pure guarantees the Thunderstorm to get rid of any odor or your money back so you have nothing to lose. And right now, Eden Pure is offering the BOGO sale. I love this BOGO sale. All right. Until Sunday, you can buy one, get one free. Pet, kitchen, tobacco, and basement smells are gone in no time. They don't stand a chance with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. That problem room will no longer be a problem. And here's all you have to do. I get a lot of messages from people saying, you know, what was the name of the product that you were talking about with smells? What do I enter in? I'm going to say this nice and slow. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name and put in code GRACEBOGO at checkout. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word GRACEBOGO. Offer ends Sunday, July 11th, so don't miss out. 844-500-4242. We still have tons of stuff to get to. There's a hilarious piece in the Washington Post, where else, about Hunter Biden and his artistic endeavors. And this had me laughing out loud. I don't know how people can write this stuff and not just spit out their coffee onto their keyboards. It's so preposterous. We also have some great Fauci sound. We'll play the Javier Becerra sound. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about vaccines because Biden brought up going door to door. And then Jen Psaki brought it up as well. So you know this is something they're seriously considering. And then Dr. Fauci gets out there and says, people just need to get over it. You know, get over this political thing and just get the vaccine. And then Javier Becerra from HHS comes out and says, we want people to feel like they have a sense of freedom, but we hope they choose to get it. And I don't, maybe I'm alone in this, but does anyone feel as though they're starting to get a little bit more authoritarian with their method of trying to convince you? It used to be, hey, listen, you get a cheeseburger. Oh, you want a free donut? Hey, you can enter a lottery. And now it's a little bit more, hey, we tried to be nice, okay? We tried to be nice to you NASCAR freaks. And now we're gonna hold you down and we're going to stab you ourselves. You're going to get the Fauci ouchie, whether you like it or not, to protect you from the droplets. We'll be right back. I want to hear from you guys, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
All right, we are monitoring this Joe Biden press conference or whatever it is. He's got a mean face on right now. I don't think he's happy about some of these questions. So we'll get you guys some sound from that after this break. But I do have to do the poll question here. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin. Handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. Love your soap, love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's, CapeLily.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What will be John Kerry's excuse for not wearing a mask at Logan? It's the only choice for someone like me. I'm the public face of Boston, or I fell for a setup.
It's the only choice for someone like me.
It's the only choice for somebody like me.
In the lead at 62%.
All right, let's take a little Joe Biden. I am curious what he's saying. I can't help myself. This is Joe Biden.
One, to bring Osama bin Laden to the gates of hell, as I said at the time. The second reason was to eliminate Al-Qaeda's capacity to deal with more attacks in the United States from that territory. We accomplished both of those objectives, period. That's what I believed from the beginning.
You know what's hilarious about that is that if we had listened to him when he was vice president, we wouldn't have accomplished one of those. He was the only one who told Barack, don't go in and try to get Osama.
Yeah, and we apologize to our affiliates for the dead air alarms while his brain was rebooting.
All right, let's go back to this.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true.
Is it? Can you please clarify what they have told you about whether that will happen or not?
That is not true. They did not reach that conclusion.
So what is the level of confidence that they have that it will not collapse?
The Afghan government and leadership has to come together. They clearly have the capacity to sustain the government in place. The question is, will they generate the kind of cohesion to do it? It's not a question of whether they have the capacity. They have the capacity. They have the forces. They have the equipment. The question is, will they do it? And I want to make clear what I made clear to Ghani, that we are not going to walk away and not sustain their ability to maintain that force. We are. We're going to also work to make sure we help them in terms of everything from food necessities and other things in the region. But there is not a conclusion that, in fact, they cannot defeat the Taliban. I believe the only way there's going to be, this is now Joe Biden, not the intelligence community, the only way there's ultimately going to be peace and security in Afghanistan is that they work out a modus vivendi with the Taliban and they make a judgment as to how they can make peace. And the likelihood there's going to be one unified government in Afghanistan controlling the whole country is highly unlikely.
Mr. President, thank you. But we have talked to your own top general in Afghanistan, General Scott Miller. He told ABC News, the conditions are so concerning at this point that it could result in a civil war. So if Kabul falls to the Taliban, what will the United States do about it?
Look, you've said two things. One, that if it could result in a civil war, that's different than the Taliban succeeding, number one. Number two, the question of what will be done is going to be implicated, it's going to implicate the entire region as well. There's a number of countries that have a grave concern about what's going to happen in Afghanistan relative to their security.
All right.
I feel great about this.
I can't imagine how much he dreads taking questions because I get nervous for him. You know how you get secondhand embarrassment? I get secondhand sweaty palms when he starts talking to the press and he's pointing at them. And I don't think he's expecting to get real questions, which is, I didn't expect it either, but good for those people.
Yeah, the usual sycophants are in the birthday party celebration in the press room with Saki. These are actual journalists now.
Yeah, we'll have more of this sound on the other side. We're gathering it now. Just a heads up for everyone, Howie and I will be at Cape Gunworks tomorrow in Hyannis from 12 to 6. It's always one of my favorite remotes of the year, mostly because I always beat Howie at the shooting contest. I wipe the floor with him, and that leaves a smile on my face for the rest of the summer. But if you guys want to check that out, make sure you head to Cape Gunworks in Hyannis tomorrow from 12 to 6. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take calls on this, on Dr. Fauci, on whatever you want to talk about. But we have a lot more sound to play coming back. We're going to try to fit it all in before Howie Carr is back in studio. 844-500-4242. He looks lost, and I think there's a reason for that. We'll be right back.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. All right, so Biden is answering questions on the Afghan withdrawal as the Taliban gains ground. He's getting very, very sassy. And I have to say that when I watch him without sound, which I'm doing right now, his mannerisms and the way he moves, it reminds me of the It's a Small World ride. Like, he always looks like he's about to malfunction, you know, like someone has to replace his batteries. His arms go up. It really in a stiff manner. He throws them up and then he throws them back down. So we're watching this. We do have a little bit of sound here, Jared. You've piqued my curiosity by describing this. So this is Joe Biden taking questions from the people who he should be kissing their feet. He should be every day waking up and saying, thank you for helping me get elected. Thank you for tilting the scale so that I could fool ignorant American people into voting for me, because that's what it is. It's uninformed voters who voted for this guy. He should be praising the press, and instead he treats them like dirt. And for that, I have to say thank you to Joe. Now let's listen to him taking a question.
Mr. President, will the United States be responsible for the loss of Afghan civilian lives that could happen after the military exit?
No. It's up to the people of Afghanistan decide on what government they want, not us to impose the government on them. No country's ever been able to do that. Keep in mind, as a student of history, as I'm sure you are, never has Afghanistan been a united country. Not in all of its history. Not in all of its history.
Mr. President, if this isn't a mission accomplished moment, what is it?
No, there's no mission accomplished.
How would you describe it?
The mission was accomplished in that we get Scott Osama bin Laden, and terrorism is not emanating from that part of the world.
All right, I want to stop him there. We'll let you know if we get more sound from that. But he's not the only one who can't answer tough questions, or any questions, really. He's okay at the ice cream questions. Sometimes it takes him a second, you know, if he changed up his order. He's like, I got cookies and cream and strawberry. But that takes him a minute. But maybe even worse than Joe is his right-hand woman, the woman waiting in the wings behind the pillars of the White House, Kamala Harris. I was thinking about making this the poll question, like, what's her worst answer? Because she had a doozy recently. She was asked about voter ID. And voter ID is one of those arguments with Democrats. I was on YouTube yesterday looking at something, and Stacey Abrams came up as the ad, and she was saying Republicans are trying really hard, you know, to put these Jim Crow regulations on voting rights. And of course, that's complete BS. There's nothing true about that. But I always found this interesting, that having an ID and showing it when you vote is considered racist, because that in itself implies that certain groups are not capable of getting IDs. And I find that to be racist. But the Democrats, they've said Jim Eagle, they said Jim Crow, they said Jim Crow on steroids. And they're sticking with this idea that somehow, even though you have to show your ID to buy booze, you have to show your ID to get on a plane, plenty of places you have to show your ID. If you go to Fenway and get a beer, you got to show your ID. But they're trying to tell us that voting, which, you know, every other day of the week, they're telling us it's the most important thing, that we have to save, you know, our election integrity. The voting is so, so important, but it's not important enough that we should require people to show their IDs. So somebody asked Kamala Harris about this. It was Soledad O'Brien on BET. So I guess that's where she's doing her interviews now, rather than, you know, an actual news network. She's talking to Soledad O'Brien. Let's listen to Kamala Harris, cut 9.
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's. There's no Office Max near them. People have to understand that when we're talking about voter ID laws, be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are. Of course, people have to prove who they are, but not in a way that makes it almost impossible for them to prove who they are.
Now, the faces of the VIPs in this room really summarize how I felt. I feel a lot better now because when I first heard that, I'm like, am I missing something? Sometimes these Democrats, they talk. It's like you have to bend your brain into a pretzel to try to figure out what nonsense they're spewing. Places don't have Kinko's, so people can't photocopy their IDs.
Yes, very topical references, Kamala. Let's go to Blockbuster, get a VHS copy of Titanic and hit the Kinko's. Crazy night in the town.
I just, the excuses now are getting more and more weak. Like at first it was racist and now it's, oh, people can't get photocopies. I don't know. Don't ask me to explain it. That's above my pay grade, as Joe Biden likes to say. Now, speaking of media hits, it's been a while since we've heard from Dr. Fauci. He took a little bit of time off. I don't know.
Very little.
Yeah, maybe we're just being too hard on him lately, or, you know, he was starting to see that the tide was turning. You know, people started to figure out, this guy is benefiting a lot from this fame, and we've heard enough of him. And I think people were really, really sick of him. So he took like 2 days off, and now he's back. And you have to hear what he says about, and just keep this in mind, because I say this a lot to people, but I don't know if I've ever said it on the air. There was a period of time where things started loosening up very slowly. Remember where they were telling all of us to get vaccinated, but then you were vaccinated and they wouldn't let you take your mask off. And then that really, besides Kamala Harris and Al Sharpton telling people, you know, being vaccine skeptical, that really slowed the process down because it de-incentivized getting a vaccine. If you were like, okay, maybe I'll get the vaccine, and then you found out, oh, nothing's going to change, you didn't get the vaccine. So while all that's happening, I just kept thinking to myself, all right, it's slow. Nothing's really happening. They're not opening anything up. And then Dr. Fauci gets asked about gain of function research by Senator and also Dr. Rand Paul. And then he starts getting more pressed on the origin of this virus and whether or not it was man-made or it was actually from a wet market in Wuhan. And then like a light switch, boom. Things start opening up. Oh, take the masks off. Oh, you can gather. Oh, and the timing of it, I don't underestimate the timing of these Democrats. There's always a reason behind it. And I was like, huh. And I always think to myself, if it weren't for that, if it weren't for gain of function, we would still be doing this. We would all still have masks on. We'd still be wearing them into CVS. Nothing would change. But the only reason he got pushed back on his heels a little bit was people like Rand Paul and Scott Hounsell were asking questions and saying, what did you know and when did you know it? And I'm very, very grateful for those people because you understand because of how quickly he switched that he's hiding something. Now he's back. And now his new gripe is that he can't stand how hesitant people are to get the vaccine because that's really his business. You know, he's been in your business for the last year, telling you whether or not you can have a birthday party or go to a baseball game or open up your business. He's been in your business. And now he's worried about whether or not you're going to get the vaccine. Let's take a listen.
Here we have a vaccine that's highly, highly effective in preventing disease and certainly in preventing severe disease and hospitalization. It's easy to get. It's free and it's readily available. So, you know, you've got to ask, what is the problem? Get over it. Get over this political statement. Just get over it and try and save the lives of yourself and your family.
There's a lot to digest there. One is it's hysterical to hear him talking about political statements when he openly admitted that the masks were just theater. He said, oh, well, I didn't want to have it on and give out the wrong message, send out mixed messages. That's admitting that it was all theater. Because he was doubly vaccinated, all good to go. And number two is this idea that get over this political thing. It's the smugness. It's the way that they just write off any of your concerns. Like, you're so stupid. Why don't you just get it? And it reminds me of when he said a lot of people were having a problem with the lockdowns when, you know, we were told 2 weeks to flatten the curve. That turned into 2 months, almost 2 years. But while that was happening, Dr. Fauci was asked about why in America people are resisting the lockdowns. And he said something like, we're too obsessed with this liberty thing or this freedom thing. This guy really thinks that what he wants and what he tells you to do is more important than, I don't know, the Constitution, your rights, your freedom, your opinion. It doesn't matter. He wants to sit you down, jab you, and say, move along, and I'll lock down in 6 months when there's a spike. Guy is such a fraud. And if that's not scary enough, HHS Secretary Javier Becerra was asked about vaccines. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, wait a second, you're going to go door to door? This sounds pretty strange. This sounds pretty authoritarian. It's the Biden administration. Open up. It's your turn. And so you'd think the White House would try to be walking that back a little bit and maybe make people less fearful that they're going to take over and make us all get vaccinated. But what Javier Becerra said is kind of the opposite. Let's start with cut 12.
Brianna, perhaps we should point out that the federal government has had to spend trillions of dollars to try to keep Americans alive during this pandemic. So it is absolutely the government's business. It is taxpayers' business if we have to continue to spend money to try to keep people from contracting COVID and helping reopen the economy. And so it is our business to try to make sure Americans can prosper, Americans can freely associate. And knocking on a door has never been against the law. You don't have to answer, but we hope you do, because if you haven't been vaccinated, we can help dispel some of those rumors that you've heard and hopefully get you vaccinated.
I never asked you for any favors, Javier. All right, stop trying to put this on all of us. We spent so much money to keep you all safe. Now we're going to go door to door. Nobody asked you for this. Thanks, but no thanks. Don't do me any more favors, Javier. And then it gets worse. You got to listen to the phrasing of this. This is cut 13.
We want to give people a sense that they have the freedom to choose, but we hope they choose to live. And we're going to make it possible for them to have a good life. And by the way, protect their family and loved ones at the same time.
So is it that you want to give people the freedom to choose, or you want to give people the sense that they have the freedom to choose? Those are two very different things. I prefer the first one, the actual freedom to choose, not the sense that I have the freedom to choose. It's really crazy. And just a small update. This might warm your heart. Michael Avenatti is in court today. He is being tried for trying to extort Nike millions of dollars.
$20 million. And he was just sentenced to 30 months for this after he cried during his closing, what have you.
What was the maximum?
I'm not sure. I just saw the headline.
30 months. Okay. Yeah. I read that Michael Avenatti's crying in court. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is just, could this day get any better? The only thing that could make this day better, ice cream. I mean, really, this guy who, keep in mind, he tried to ruin Brett Kavanaugh's life. And he did it proudly. He is so shameless. Now he has the world's smallest violin. And he's saying, please, I was going to be president someday. And now I have to go to jail. Ha! It couldn't happen to a nicer guy when you really think about it. All right, when we get back, we'll play some more sound. We've got a little bit of Hunter Biden news that I teased. And we'll also be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr. But before we go to the break, we can take one call here. Zebra, go ahead. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Zebra.
Yeah, I line up real quick to hear something. I hear you say something and it just lights me up about something else. Javier should stop saying the government spent all that money. He spent our money.
Yes.
Okay? They don't make a dime. Okay. And we might not have built that, as Obama said. Yeah, but we paid for it to be built. So I don't want to hear any more about how they're doing something for us as they're pocketing half the money. Now, as far as distrust in the vaccine goes, they seeded it by silencing voices of opposition by scientists, medical professionals. And when they started that, that's what the distrust is. 30% of the people say, you know, I think I'll wait. You're pulling the cloak over my eyes. I'm waiting.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. They broke people's faith in science when, you know, they had us wearing masks outside in 90-degree weather in the summer. You're absolutely right, Zebra. And also, that's a great point to make. You know, oh, we spent so much money on all of this. That's our money. That's our money. Look in a mirror. You're paying for all of this. We do not owe them anything. The last thing they should be taking away is our privacy, which clearly they do not care about. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. Thank you for the call. 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Got to keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Howie Carr is back in studio, and we have a lot to discuss, Howie. First of all, have you heard the news about Michael Avenatti? Oh, he's just getting situated.
Has he made a statement today? President Avenatti, has he made a statement about Afghanistan today?
No, he actually started crying in court as they were sentencing him, and he got 30 months.
Whatever happened to the old saying, don't do the crime if you can't do the time?
It doesn't hold up.
But at least he waited until the sentencing. You know, sometimes people are just so, I don't know, inexperienced that they, you know, they start crying or they keel over at their arraignments or something. You gotta wait till it's actually time.
You gotta save it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so do you think he did that right before? Because they must know going into the day what they're gonna do.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
You're actually better off doing it a few days before, starting the tears up then.
No, I don't think so. You lead up to it by, you know, you get your, you know, the local parish priest or, you know, the Mother Teresa to write you a letter to the sentencing judge, you know, and say what a wonderful person you are.
Well, I'm sure that some woman in Michael Avenatti's life had something.
Probably not the one that charged him with beating her up outside, what, Studio City in L.A.?
But did they have something to say about Michael Avenatti? I'm sure.
Mom did. Mom, his mother did. His mother had a nice thing to say.
He's a good boy. A very good boy.
Now, speaking of good boys, Andrew Cuomo is talking about gun violence in New York. Mm-hmm. And rather than, you know, address the fact that they're letting criminals out of jail at all times and, you know, letting people just go, pardoning people, whatever
right.
it is.
He signed the bail legislation. That's the problem.
He's blaming guns. And his latest quote rubbed people the wrong way because even though he couldn't see the irony in it, a lot of other people did. Let's take a listen.
Treat it like a public health issue. We know how to deal with an epidemic. What we want to say is we want to do with gun violence what we just did with COVID. That's what we want.
Well, is there any self-realization with these people? Do they sense the irony here?
You know what someone on Twitter wrote?
What?
I think it was Stephen Miller. He said, you're going to shoot everybody over the age of 65? Because what he did in New York, I know he wrote a book about it. So maybe he thinks it was good.
$5.1 million.
Howie, also, I might leave you this little gift here. White House grapples with ethics of Hunter Biden's pricey paintings. There's some reviews from artists in here. Some people don't think he's worth $500K. All right, Howie Carr is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.